He spent 24 years in the major leagues. That's a long time. 7 times a Cy Young Award winner, twice with the Toronto Blue Jays. He needs no introduction. He's the Rocket. He's Roger Clemens. Hello, Roger. How are you?
Sure, guys.
Good to hear your voice. Congratulations on Casey getting drafted by the Toronto Blue Jays. You must be very proud.
I am. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. He was pretty fired up, to say the least, when he heard his name come across the MLB.com, and he got a few phone calls within the hour from other teams, and I kept watching him go back in and out the house with his cell phone and pacing around the driveway. And so then we got a call from the area scout, and it looked like he was going to go, and to hear his name called, it was fantastic. And right after that, there's two pretty cool photos that popped up. I remember taking a photo with Casey on the side field in Dunedin in spring training. I was kind of dragging him around.
He was a baby. He was, what, 3 at that time?
Man, he was. 3 or 4, I think.
Yeah.
And then one night after a game, he was just dying to get on the mound there at the Sky Dome, and so we got him out there at the on the field and let him chunk one, but those photos are floating around, so... He's pretty excited. The University of Texas is tweeting out a bunch of stuff, and they had a really fun year. They wanted to go further, but he's excited now for the next challenge. So, and I'm just super happy. I think when I get off with you guys, I'm going to track down Paul Beeston. Beastie was the obvious reason why he came down here to recruit me to Toronto to play there, and he was instrumental in that. So I'm going to try and give him a phone call next.
He's around. So a first baseman, you would think, with your father being Roger Clemens, you'd pick up a baseball and start throwing it and say, I'm going to be a pitcher like Dad. Now, he did pitch some, though, didn't he?
He did. He pitched in high school. He pitched a little bit at Texas, but his arm was barking just a little bit as his speed increased, and so he backed off of it. And then Coach Augie Garrido, his first coach there before Augie, passed the torch over to Coach Davis Pierce, who they had this past year. They just wanted him to focus on one aspect of the game. And so he really dialed it up a little bit. He throws right, bats left, just like his younger brother does, Cody. And he was really focused on that. And they had a nice little year, so it was fun to watch the boys. And then, like I said, it looks like this next chapter in his life, he's just really excited to have the opportunity to try this. You know, like I've told him since he was little, it's very difficult as you work your way up that tier, and guys are really good, but I think he's up for the challenge.
You know, this job that you have now, being a parent of a baseball player, might be tougher than being the starting pitcher for a Major League Baseball team. How did you manage rounds 1 through 7, because he got picked in the 8th, and how do you manage how it starts from now until the time he actually becomes a Major League Baseball player, if in fact that can happen?
Yeah, great question, guys. So with Kobe, my oldest one, he decided he had a chance to scholarship to go to Texas, and he decided he got drafted in the 8th round also by the Houston Astros, and he played 10 wonderful years of professional ball in the minor leagues. I kind of just be dad until they ask me a pointed question, and then I'll let them know. I try and get them to practice perfect, but we do that with all the guys that come here to the house. We got a little indoor cage, and we'll get my title with the Astros is I'm assistant to the GM there and help those guys out usually in spring training or around draft day or whenever they call. I talk to quite a bit of the pitchers on the team, and it's more the mental part of the game. And I love doing it. Like I said, the guys come and ask questions. And so same thing with my boys. If they ask the pointed question, I try and put that hat on. And what was crazy with both boys playing at Texas, it's tough. I feel like Dr. Phil or something at dinner, because one of the boys might be 3 for 3 and had a great game, and the other one was 0 for 3 and didn't have, you know. So you're trying to manage both personalities and things like that. So. It's a lot of fun. Like I said, it's a tough game. It's a fun game. You just want them to go have fun and do their best and see where they match up.
Any idea when Casey's professional career will start? Has that been determined as yet?
I have heard from him. He's been handling a lot of it with the organization, and I'm hearing that he's going to be in Dunedin for a physical by Friday.
Wow.
And then possibly sent to one of the affiliates at that point.
One of the rookie ball teams, huh?
Yeah, maybe a short season thing, which he already looked online. He's looking to extend his degree a little bit further, I think, at the University of Texas. So he's already on top of that. So he's got a pretty good plan, and like I said, he's excited about this little journey he's fixing. Well,
can you give us a scouting report on him? What does he do best?
Yeah. Well, I think he's really close to major league ready as far as his defensive play. I think that's why he stayed. His arm span's a little bit longer than mine, and I guess we could give him names. Since you had the rocket up there, we could go with the missile.
Okay.
No, I don't know. He's you know, left-handed bat, and really, you know, hit a little bit of everything. I mean, in college, it seems like they throw a lot of breaking balls, so he really had to make adjustments to that throughout the year. And again, guys, I kind of stayed off to the side. David Pierce and his staff at Texas are very, very good at being great coaches, but even more so, better teachers of the game. And then, you know, what Texas is tweeting out right now is the mayor is gone on to Toronto, so next stop. Mm. So, you know, we'll see. It's, you know, like I said, they got a lot of great guys in the organization. I would hope that at some point Casey can, in spring training, can go eyeball the big league guys. They do it very well. I mean, they obviously the guys that are still there right now at the big league level. I know the team's hovering around 500, but they'll get it going. And the pitching staff gets going a little bit, like we, you know, what's going on here. We lost one of our horses, Dallas Keuchel's, down right now, so it put a little bump in the road here in Houston. So,
yeah, well, you haven't had too many bumps in the road, Roger.
Not this year. These guys are swinging it pretty good.
No kidding.
And, like I said, the guys are pitching, and the bullpen's been fantastic.
Tell me what you think it's like to be Roger Clemens' kid, all things being equal, to grow up in that kind of household. With a 7-time Cy Young Award winner, with a guy who went through a very controversial period in his life, do you think it's been easier or tougher for these three boys to get an opportunity in baseball?
Yeah, no, all four of my boys, really. I mean, as far as personal facts, when you have when you encounter a person that's saying something about your family, really an attack on your family. You're just so close-knit. I think the biggest compliment, what I've been, you know, even over the last 2 days, but since the boys have been growing up and coaches have met the boys, you know, you'll see when you have an opportunity to talk to Casey or meet him, if you didn't know he was my son, you probably wouldn't know it. And, you know, that's the way I was brought up. I was brought up by two strong-willed women, my mother and my grandmother. My father passed away when I was 9. So I've been real fortunate to have the life I've had with my boys, and I've tried to, you know, teach them the same values and core values that my mother and my grandmother taught me. So I told them to be very intense and very focused on their work when they're doing it, whatever their job might be, because, you know, that's your livelihood. You take it very seriously, and off the field you treat people with great respect, and the boys do that. So, you know, that's what I'm most proud of them. They understand that, you know, you're never going to be able to please everybody, and people will come at you in different ways. But just like I told Casey, and he got to see it, and we've talked about it even before the Blue Jays came calling here yesterday, that our time in Toronto, we were just reminiscing about when the fans would leave and some of the lights would be off, I would throw down the plastic bases in the outfield. And here, next thing you know, we got a family and some of the other players' kids. We got a wiffle ball game going. I'm out there on one knee throwing batting practice to 5, 6, 7-year-olds. So I loved it. I loved my time. Mel Queen, all the guys in Toronto were fantastic. Some great young players and really, really fond memories of having my years up there in Toronto.
Yeah, you talk about that. Do you think it's an advantage for Casey to have been drafted by a team that you played for?
It may be. I don't know that it matters. I mean, like I said, you got to get in. Now that you go to that next tier, you're going to find out that everybody's really, really good at their craft. And, you know, we tell the boys, and again, not just my boys, but any of them that come here that are chasing their dreams to – they know what their weaknesses are, to work on those, to really work hard on your weaknesses, and the things that you're good at, continue to work on those and improve. I mean, I tell them I can't tell you how many hours I spent on backfield, spring training fields, taking ground balls to make myself a better fielder. My pitching coaches would hit me fungos, a ton of fungos, to make me an adequate to above average fielder. And the same thing when I got to the National League. I had manager at one point, Jimmy Williams, I think is one of the best baseball men around. He and I would show up at 7 a.m. in spring training, and he would throw to me, and I would even bunt off of a pitching machine for about 30 minutes just to get a bunt down. Just in, you know, I had the credentials I had in the league already, pretty established, obviously. But he said, listen, if I know that you can, if I'm secure as a manager and know that you can get a bunt down late in the game, it allows me to leave you in the sixth, seventh, maybe eighth inning. Might add up to four or five wins for you over the season. So, and it did exactly that. So, you just experience, tell the guys about your experiences and things that you do. And, so again, I can tell you guys I love it, because whether it's a double-A player, which I've always said most guys in double-A have the ability to play in the major leagues, they just can't handle the high rate of failing that we do. Mm. And sometimes, you know, like you said, if you care about what you do, it will take a task on you,
right?
Because you're out there performing. So, yeah.
We're out of time. We thank you for yours.
Hey, real quick, let me jump this. I know we're out of time, but I was actually supposed to be at Joe Carter has a wonderful golf tournament.
Yes, he does
right now.
Yeah,
and I was supposed to be there with him. I told him that I need to be here in Houston with my son in case the draft day happens. And I promised Joe I'll be at the golf tournament next year. And he did have a group that was going to play with me. And like I said, I'll say it out there. I'll extend that group. If I'm in Toronto, I'll take them to whatever club they want. Or we can, if they fly down into Houston, I'll take them down to one of the best clubs here in Houston.
So. Maybe we were in the group.
Yeah, maybe. You never know.
I'm planning to do this.
Roger, thank you. And pass along our congratulations to your son. And hopefully in due time, we'll have an opportunity to talk to him on this program. Thanks for this.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.